That is the mystery of the gospel. Near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his dear Son, I'm as near to God as he. Dear, so dear to God, dearer I cannot be. For in the person of his dear Son, I'm as dear to God as he. What more could anybody want than that? Now, I want to try to speak this evening on this subject, the breastplate of righteousness. Let me read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We considered that a couple of weeks ago. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the gospel of thy dear Son. How we thank you that in him we are made as near and dear to you as he is. And Lord, we stand amazed at that thought. And we pray that you would give us the grace to put on this breastplate of righteousness that we read of in your word. Lord, accept our thanksgiving. We're so thankful that you're God. We're thankful for all your glorious attributes. We thank you for the salvation that's in your Son. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for justification. We thank you for his precious blood. We thank you that all things work together for good to them that love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. Now, bless our time together. Speak in power to our hearts for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, in this 14th verse, the first piece of armor that's mentioned is the girdle or the belt of truth. That is the truth of the gospel. And none of these other pieces of armor can be put on without this first, the truth. The truth of who God is, the truth of the true character of man, the truth regarding how God saves sinners. None of these other pieces of armor will be understood apart from the truth. And when we learn the truth, then we see the necessity of these pieces of armor that are provided for us by God in the gospel. Now, he says in verse 14, having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is where we get the word thorax from, or thorax, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's the part of the body from the neck to the loins where the internal organs are. The heart, the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, the intestine. And the breastplate was given to protect these organs. You see, you can lose a limb and still live, but you can't lose one of these organs and still live. And this breastplate was given to the Roman soldier to protect his internal organs. The breastplate would cover all that area, and Paul calls this breastplate that the believer wears the breastplate of righteousness. What does the Bible mean by righteousness? I know you would ask many men, and they would give you as many different definitions as to what they would call righteousness, but what does the Bible mean by this word righteousness? It is perfection before God's law. Righteousness is sinlessness. It is having no sin. Perfect before the Ten Commandments. I like what James says in James chapter 1, verse 10, or James chapter 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. You cannot be partially righteous. With regard to the Ten Commandments, you can't have kept one of the ten or seven of the ten. No, you've either kept them all or you've broken them all. The law of God is one whole, and to break one commandment is to break the entire law. I love what is said of the Lord. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Cursed is he that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Righteousness is perfect obedience to the law of God before God. Moses describeth the righteousness of the law, that the man who doeth those things shall live by them. Now somebody says, well, I've tried to keep God's law. No, you haven't. I've done my best. That's a lie. All you and I have done is broken God's law continually. And if you believe that you've kept one commandment one time, you demonstrate a complete ignorance of the holy law of God and a complete ignorance of your own sinfulness. The scripture says the carnal mind, and that's the mind we all have by nature, Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. The carnal mind, listen to this, is enmity against God. It doesn't say it's at enmity against God. It says the carnal mind is enmity itself against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So don't dare think, well, I've done my best. You have not. And if you did do your best, it wouldn't be good enough. Righteousness, a perfect standing before God's holy law. There is no such thing as degrees of righteousness in the Bible. I'm either perfectly righteous without sin, or I'm completely wicked. There is no in between. And God said, I will by no means clear the guilty. If God ever sees me or you as guilty before his law, he says, I will by no means clear the guilty. Well, somebody says, if we're guilty, how can that be? And we still be cleared. That's the gospel. You learn that. You learn the answer to that question. You've learned the gospel. Righteousness is having never broken the law, having never sinned. You have loved God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength, and you have loved your neighbor as yourself. Nothing short of that is righteousness. I like what David said in Psalm 24:3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the only righteousness the Bible knows anything about. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, what does God's word say about our righteousness? Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6. All of us ought to have this committed to memory. Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And in the original, that is literally menstruous rags. Somebody says, you ought not use crude language like that. That's the word God the Holy Spirit used to describe our righteousnesses. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Now let me quote a few other scriptures. Genesis 6:5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, he's not even talking about the actions right now, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, non-stop. Paul quoted David, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way. They've together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Let me show you what Paul said of his law-keeping. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me that I thought were in the plus column, those I counted loss, garbage, refuse for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. What did he say about all of the law keeping that he used to think he had? He said, I count it in the negative column. I count it but dung. So this breastplate of righteousness has not a fiber nor a strand of human righteousness in its composition. Why is that? Because there is no such thing. There is no such thing as human righteousness from any man. Isaiah said our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now most preachers interpret this righteousness that's spoken of in the breastplate of righteousness a righteous life. And I'll agree with that. The question is, whose righteous life? Another mistake preachers make and people believe is that this justifying righteousness is a legal standing before God that is written out, but you're still the same. Well, my old nature's still the same. I wouldn't argue against that. But I have a perfect standing before God where I personally have never sinned. That's what justification is. I've heard people describe justification just as if I never sinned. That doesn't do me any good at all. Justification is I personally, in my person, have never sinned. Somebody says, well, couldn't this be talking about the righteous life the Lord enables you to live by his grace? Do you want to have that as your breastplate? I sure don't. The only righteousness that will protect me and keep me from being destroyed is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, what about your righteous life? Well, that's what the Pharisee boasted of when he said, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. He gave God the credit. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer, or even as this publican. He was giving God the credit for the life that he had. And I want to ask you a question. Would you want your life by grace to be your breastplate? Listen, if there's a strand of your righteousness in it, there's seams in that breastplate that will have you killed. Back in Philippians chapter 3, let me go on reading what Paul went on to say. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him. When God comes looking for me, I want to simply be found in him, so that all God sees is Jesus Christ. Now, what does that look like, Paul? Let's go on reading. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want to have anything to do with that because I know what it is. It's nothing more than filthy rags. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faithfulness, the obedience, the law keeping of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Now that's the breastplate of righteousness that he is speaking of. The righteousness of God. The righteousness that was worked out by the faith of Jesus Christ. Somebody had to believe God perfectly, and he did. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now listen to this scripture. David said in Psalm 71:16, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. David, why do you say that? Because his righteousness is the only righteousness there is. Psalm 119, verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. It never had a beginning, and it can never end. Let me read this passage from Psalm 40. This is the preaching of Christ. This is a great psalm of Christ. And he says, in verse 7 and 8, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now Paul, or whoever wrote Hebrews, quotes this in Hebrews 10 as the very words of Christ. Or Hebrews 8, I'm sorry, is the very words of Christ. Now look at Christ describing his own preaching. He says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. This is the same righteousness that Noah spoke of, who was a preacher of righteousness, the righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ preached in the great congregation, which he called thy righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, this is the name wherewith he shall be called, speaking of the Lord Jesus, Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. But it says in Jeremiah 33:15, this is the name wherewith she shall be called. This is my name. This is the church's name. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. In Psalm 22, that great psalm of the cross that begins with a my God, why have you forsaken me? The Lord says this, they shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Isaiah 45:24 says, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And Isaiah 54:17 says, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, the righteousness, the breastplate, is made of the righteousness of Jesus Christ only. Now when David said, as for me, I'll behold thy face in righteousness, he's talking about the righteousness of God. He's talking about the righteousness of Christ. And the reason he can behold the face of God is because he has the righteousness of God. He can do, and every believer can do, what no seraphim can do. The seraphim would hide their face. They couldn't look upon him. They don't have the righteousness of God. They're innocent creatures. They've been preserved from sin, but they don't have the righteousness of God. They still have to cover their face. But David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. You see, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the saint's, every believer's, personal righteousness before God. Unto her was granted, Revelation 19:8, unto her was granted fine, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For this fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Notice, it doesn't say it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to the saints. This is the righteousness of the saints. This is the uniform teaching both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Here's a scripture that ties the Old Testament and the New Testament together in this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. It doesn't say righteousness was credited to his account, although it was. It says he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. I love it when the Lord comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? Put yourself in John's place. What if the Lord Jesus Christ came to you and said, I want you to baptize me? You reckon you'd feel unqualified? Listen to the words of the Lord. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, when he fulfilled all righteousness, everybody in him fulfilled all righteousness. You know the reason I don't try to keep the law? Because I've kept it. When he kept it, I kept it. Just as when Adam sinned, I sinned. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, in that all sinned. Everybody in him sinned. Everybody in Christ, when he fulfilled righteousness, everybody in him fulfilled all righteousness. When the Lord said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, he didn't say, and seek to live a righteous life. Well, we ought to seek to live a righteous life, but that's not what he said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, what's his righteousness look like? I love what Peter said in Acts chapter 10 when he's preaching to Cornelius. He said, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness in every nation, Jew or Gentile, in every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. That is the summary of the life of every believer, a life fearing God, that fear that's the beginning of wisdom and the working of righteousness. Now understand, this thing of justification is not just a legal standing. Somebody says, why are you speaking negatively of that? I'm not. I want to have a legal standing before God that's righteous. No question about it. But if all it is a legal standing, that doesn't really give me any comfort. The only comfort I have is that I, in my person, because of Christ's work for me, I, in my person, have never sinned. That's what justification is. It's having never sinned, having a perfect righteousness before God. Listen to this scripture. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. That's not only talking about his righteous character, but a believer actually having as his own personal righteousness the very righteousness of God. Romans 4, 5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Paul calls righteousness in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, the gift of righteousness. We read in Romans 10, 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. What kind of breastplate is that? Talking about something that will protect you. Having the very righteousness of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. If I have His righteousness, you know what I have? Peace. If I have His righteousness, you know what I have? Joy. Oh, the joy and the peace of believing. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, the work of righteousness is peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. Now, let me tell you what gives me assurance of salvation. That everything God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. And that my righteousness, my personal righteousness before God, is nothing less than the righteousness of Christ. What a breastplate this is. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that He is made unto us. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Listen to this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. On Calvary's tree, Christ was made sin. Do I understand that? No. Do I believe it with all my heart? He was made sin. That's why God forsook Him. He was made sin. You see, God's no respecter of persons. When He sees sin on His Son, in His Son, He forsakes Him. Scripture says He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, what a breastplate! Every believer is nothing less than the righteousness of God. This breastplate is not your righteous living. Now, I wish every one of us would never sin again. I wish we'd live in such a way as to glorify God. That's what we want to do. We don't want to sin. We want to honor Him in our life. But do you want any of your life to be part of this breastplate? I sure don't. The only safety I see is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I love what Paul said. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, by my law keeping, by my acts of obedience, then Christ died in vain. But righteousness comes by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say again, what a breastplate. What a breastplate to have. What comfort there is to have this breastplate of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It is equal to God's righteousness for this reason. It is God's righteousness. It's not a righteousness that can be compared to His or that's like His. It's His righteousness that every believer wears. Now, believer, put this breastplate on. It's already on you. Put it on. And here's what it'll protect you from. When you believe that His righteousness is your righteousness before God, it doesn't leave any room for pride or self-righteousness, does it? There's no room for that. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? By the law of righteousness? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. If you have on His righteousness, there's absolutely nothing that you can glory in but Him. If you really believe, the only righteousness you have is His. This is also a great protection against discontentment. If you have His righteousness as your personal righteousness before God, what do you have to be discontent about? What do you have to murmur and complain about? You have the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No matter what God sends your way, you have the righteousness of God. There's absolutely nothing to be discontent about. Everything is good if you have the righteousness of God. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that can condemn? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now listen to this. It's only when you have only his righteousness that you can have a proper motive for obedience. You see, if you don't see that the only righteousness you have is his righteousness, you'll have some mercenary motive for your obedience. You'll be doing it to get paid back for something. Only when you believe that his righteousness is the only righteousness that you have, you can serve out of love to him. Having his righteousness is the cause of you being forgiving and gracious toward other people. You know that the only reason that you have a perfect standing before God is his righteousness. He put away your sins. He gave you his righteousness. And you can be gracious and forgiving to anyone else if you really believe this. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now listen to this. How many times have you sinned and sin is fresh on your conscience and you think, "I can't come into God's presence. I can't pray. I got to wait till I feel better or I do better." And do you know that's just works? That's all it is. This will give you boldness in prayer. You'll quit thinking, "I've messed up and I can't pray now." His righteousness is always the same. It's always his righteousness. And my sin, I hate my sin, but my sin does not affect his righteousness. It's always new. It's always fresh. When I believe this, what a breastplate this is, his righteousness against despair, against despondency, against anxiety, against doubts and fears and depression. Oh, what a breastplate. His righteousness. Now somebody says, "Hey, how do you go about putting it on? I want to put this breastplate on." Well, listen to this scripture. I've already quoted it. And here's how to put on this breastplate. How you put it on yourself. Romans 4:5. "To him that worketh not." Now the first thing you're going to have to do to put on this breastplate of righteousness is to completely understand salvation has nothing to do with your works. You know your works are sinful works, and there's nothing that you would bring of your own before God and think it could recommend you to him. "To him that worketh not." Would that be you? You're convinced that salvation can't be by your works. You're convinced. "To him that worketh not, but believeth, but relieth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." If you trust Jesus Christ as your only righteousness before God, the one who made a way for God to be just and justify you, you have put on this breastplate of righteousness. And you can't possibly have the joy and peace of believing if this breastplate has anything to do with your personal righteousness, worked out by you in cooperation with God, him helping you to do it. If that's what your hope is, you can't really have any peace. Not true peace. You might act like you have it, but you don't have any peace. The only peace there is believing his righteousness is the only righteousness there is. What a blessed breastplate of protection you have. Now let me remind you this. This is a closing statement. I want to leave you with this. This breastplate, he is either all of your righteousness or you have no righteousness at all. And let me repeat that. His righteousness is either all of your righteousness, or you have no righteousness at all. This breastplate is not a combination or a mixture of yours and his. You have none. It must be his only. And anything else is being corrupted from the simplicity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This breastplate that the believer is privileged to wear, this armor of God's providing, is the breastplate of righteousness. His righteousness alone. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pray together. Our merciful Heavenly Father, how we thank you for His righteousness. Truly, Thy Son's blood and righteousness, our beauties are our glorious dress. We thank you for the gospel that reveals your righteousness as the very righteousness of all who believe. Bless this message for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen.